Song of the Rails, song written by Bill Mason from Moberly, Missouri. His father was a Wabash conductor. He took up playing music, played with Bill Monroe for 6 months, which apparently might have been all that any man could stand of playing with Bill Monroe. He's a hard man to deal with sometimes, apparently. Difficult man. And he wrote this song. He was a railroad man, also worked for 3 or 4 different railroads. And he died some 30 years ago.
As I sit here this evening in these old switch yards, waiting for that rattler to come down. Can't hardly wait to hear that whistle blow when the leave this weary town. Yeah, heading out of town. 30 days on a road gang for vagrancy, just let me off today. And if it's unknown, be seen here again, I said, boys, I'm on my way. Yeah, heading out of town. Well, you ask me why they live this way, life of a rambling hobo. And you ask me why that I don't get a job, wiping them the hole. Well, once I tried that life, my friend, I had found it, it don't pay. Well, that woman, she was phony, and she sold me out. Most of your friends are that away. But these rattlers will roll on that cold, hard iron, and the drivers will hum me a song. Black smoke will roll from that old smokestack, and I'll be along. No one to do me no harm. I'll be along. No one to do me no I had a sweetheart pretty as could be, begged her to be my wife. But she gave a lot of reasons why it could not be. She'll be the one love of my life. Well, some call me shiftless and plain no good, dirty and riding is old blind. But at night when I lay in an old boxcar, I've got real peace of mind, yeah. Cause these rattlers will roll on that cold hard iron, and the drivers will hum me a song. Black smoke will roll from that old smokestack, and I'll be moving along, yeah. No one will do me no harm. I'll be moving along. No one will do me no harm.
The railroad industry has always been a dangerous occupation. Back in the days of the Lincoln Pin, before automatic brakes, thousands, literally thousands of men died every year, having to walk the tops, crank down the brakes, having to get inside to drop that little pin in there. In fact, there's an old-time story about in the days of boomers, which were well into this century, but back in the days of Lincoln Pin, boomers were railroadmen, traveling railroad men, basically hobos who had railroad experience, and who would go where the crops were coming in, or whether there was some run on some sort of produce, and they needed some extra hands for a couple weeks, a month, and they called boomers. And a superintendent, or the guy that was hiring everybody, would say, "All right, guys, which one of you has some experience switching boxcars?" And the guys would raise their hands. And the guy with the least number of fingers had the most experience, so he'd hire them. Because Lincoln pin was a dangerous thing. It was easy to get your fingers stuck in there. And it was because of the unions. People like Eugene V. Debs and the rail unions that brought about safety. They forced people to understand that there were automatic couplers, which is what we have now, and there was air brakes. And these things were in existence for 20, 25 years before the railroads were made mandatory use by the government, which cut down the number of people getting killed on the job. Nowadays, one or two is a horrendous amount. Back in 1997, 12 people died that year on the Union Pacific Railroad, which was a banner year, so to speak. Two of them were friends of mine. But before I tell you about them, I remember when I first hired out back in 1970, an old-time railroad man told me this story. He said, "Son, we had this old trim job up here, and the trim job, for those of you who don't know what a trim job is, it's a switch engine after you hump a bunch of cars into a bowl. A trim job goes down there and gets the tracks together or trims up the bowl, pulls it out and shoves them in the clear or whatever. But they get the tracks together and double them up to make trains out. That's what you do in a classification yard or a bowl yard or in a hump yard. Hump is a little bit more quicker. They just shove the cars up a hill and cut them off. At any rate, so the process of getting the train together, you send a man down this tiny little alley between the two rails, and he's giving signs to the hog head. We didn't all have radios until well in the 80s. I remember many a night standing up in some hill with weeds up above my head, passing signs around some corner back in the early 70s. But this particular bowl track is, and you can imagine, it's late at night, you know, that very ugly hour between 3 and 5:30 when no matter how many nights in a row you've worked, you kind of get tired. And he's going back there and he's giving a sign to have him pull apart, go find that hole. And so he looks down there and he sees the hole and he walks down, gives a stop sign, gets in amongst the two cars, pops the knuckle, straightens up the drawbar, and then gives a come ahead, come on down. Two car lengths, he gives a sign for two car lengths, one car length, easy, easy hog head, that'll do. And then he gives a backup, stretch him on out. And they stretch the track, and he goes down and looks for the next hole. Well, no one knew exactly what happened. Could have been an old tank car that was halfway full. Sometimes when you jostle a tank car that's halfway full, all of a sudden it'll move on you. It'll sit there, the liquid, and it's moving back and forth, and all of a sudden the car just jumps like it's got a ghost pushing it or something. Or somebody might have punched a car in from the other end of the track, and the whole line of cars would have moved. Or perhaps he got way down that long alley, and he wasn't thinking that time in the morning, and he had his lantern in his left hand, and he popped open that knuckle with the pin, which looks like from a long ways off, looks like a come ahead sign. And he popped open the knuckle, and the drawbar wasn't quite lined up, so he reached in there to grab that drawbar, and at that moment, the hoghead took it as a come ahead sign. And of course, he's in that no man's land. The only thing holding them together is that knuckle, those two knuckles together. And there he is, caught where no one man wants to be. Well, time goes on, and Hoggett looks and says, I ain't seen nothing from old Joe down there for quite a while. Maybe better go see what's going on. And so the foreman walks on down there, and he finds old Joe coupled up. But Joe's still talking, somewhat in a state of shock, but he's still talking, and he's going, get my wife. And, you know, so they get his wife, the preacher, and the superintendent comes down. And the wife, and talks to the wife, tells her all about, you know, the secret savings accounts and what to do about the kids and about maybe a little bit of money that he had put aside somewhere that she doesn't know nothing about, and maybe of a few hopes and the dreams he has for his kids to come, and maybe what he'd like to say at his funeral or what all. And preacher comes down and they pray together for a while. And this goes on for a little while, and then finally the superintendent comes over and says, Joe, you one hell of a railroad man, a hell of a rail. But this here's a hot load, and we got a mover. So superintendent pulls the pin, away goes the hot load, and down goes Joe. And that's just about how the railroad works. I found this poem in a 19th-century fireman book. Time book. A railroad men keep a time book. They work such odd hours and times, and our work rules are so bizarre that you keep a book, you write in the day you worked, you'd write in various money and whatnot. And in the back of it, there was this poem. And I like to recall, I'd like to think of two friends of mine who in 1997 died, one in a fiery wreck and one by an accident. Was picked up by a plow and slammed in, and both of them engineers, both guys I'd worked with for well over 20 years. You can see their faces right now. And here's the poem. Now that we've scattered the flowers of May on the graves of the blue and the gray, on the graves where the heroes sleep, on the graves where the women weep, let us turn to the graves of those who've worked and died in their overclothes. Are they not heroes? Those who've died under their engines buried beside brake and throttle where they bravely stood, thinking of naught save the passenger's good. Life below duty they placed and chose, those who lived as they died in their overclothes. Oh, I would not take from an old soldier's grave the smallest of blossom, or save a word of tribute, which is his right for bravery midst a stirring fight. All honor is due him, but let us not forget those who've lived and died in their overclothes. No martial tunes do their battles inspire, the pound and the hiss of the steed of fire, speeding along through the dreary night, hours drag by in leaden flight. 'Tis the only song the trainman knows, who fights and dies in his overclothes. When the moon's cold rays grow dim and pale, and lightning leaps o'er the glistening rail, and sharp sleep furls each eager face as over mountains and hills we race, ah, dreary indeed are the battles of those who have fought and died in their overclothes. Oh, poets of chivalry's knights will sing their fancy brilliant heights take wing. But we will try in our feeble way to tell the heroism night and day of the knights of work. Ah, those who've gone on to death wearing their overclothes.
Bury me in my overalls, don't use my gabardines. Bury me in my overalls or in my beat-up jeans. Give my suit to Uncle Jake, he can wear it at my wake. So bury me in my overalls. will get my dough. The grave will get my bones. What is left will have to go for one of those granite stones. The suit cost me 2 weeks' pay. Let it live another day. So bury me in my overalls. Grave it is, a quiet place. There is no labor there. And I will rest more easy in the clothes I always wear. The suit was made for warmer climes, holidays and happy times. So bury me in my overalls. Gave a hand to clear the land and watch the cities rise. Helped to bring the harvest in and laid the railroad ties. I boomed about from east to west. It's time I had a little rest. So bury me in my overalls. When I get to heaven, where they tally work and sin, open up those pearly gates and holler, come on in. A working stiff like you we know has had a share of hell below. So come to glory in you.